Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
White to inbound. There's Holiday trying to flash free. Tatum on the cut. And the slam for the lead.
2 minutes in the overtime.
Two defenders to JT. Skips it in the corner for Al. It's a four-point Celtics win in overtime. Those Nets are scrappy. They're tough. They play hard. But on a Friday night here at the Garden, the Celtics pull it off. 108-104.
All right, yeah. Celtics win last night. 108-104 overtime to improve to 8-2. Perfect season dream is over, though. The home perfect season is over. That dream.
What's the name of the kid that does the broadcast now?
Drew Carter.
DC.
Mm-hmm.
You notice what he does with everybody?
What's that?
JT, to BD, to DD.
You call me KL.
I just call you L.
You were very upset that the X-Man got the start last night, and you were right.
I mean,
not a good choice.
Xavier McDaniel.
Nope, Tillman. But he was in, then he was out. Tatum did play pretty well last night. And he's right, Drew Carter, that the Nets are a scrappy team. It was a fun game. I watched that one cover to cover, as I did Wednesday. Before we get back to the Patriots, can I just address this texture? So, were they not expected to get revenge on Steve Kerr? This buildup was weeks in the making.
Yes.
Okay, so Texter 413. Can you ignorant slut? The Celtics did not get embarrassed by Golden State. They didn't have Jaylen Brown, who's a top 10 player. That's how it goes in pro sports, especially another team. They lost by six. These texts are out of order. I don't know what happened here. But anyway, he's upset that I said they got embarrassed. They got embarrassed. You let Steve Kerr come in and beat you on your home floor. He outcoached you with a less talented team, even with Jaylen Brown out of the lineup. And Steph Curry was much, much better in the fourth quarter. It wasn't even close. Tatum was like leaving guys wide open defensively, like defensive breakdowns. Tatum actually said last night after the game, he was challenged by Mazzulla during the Nets game that this goes through you. You've got to lead the way defensively as well as on the offensive side, which is good to hear that he's trying to light a fire under him. Yes, it's obviously a big loss to not have Jaylen Brown in the lineup. You made the argument that great week for Jaylen Brown to not be in there.
It's totally revisionist history to not say that the Celtics got embarrassed Wednesday night. Of course it was. I'd love to argue with you, but this was, if there was one game you didn't want to lose, it was to Steve Kerr at home. I mean, all we talked about this offseason was Steve Kerr.
That's probably the game. I mean, they played Golden State again, I think, in January, February. But Other than that, that's the game you probably had most circled in the regular season all year.
You only played them at home once in the regular season.
Right.
And so that was your opportunity. And I love Wiggy.
You guys had Kerr coming in after the election. He was as down could be.
Right. I mean, it was like, you know, Wiggy after they shut the buffet. So when you have Steve Kerr, who was just a dink on, steroids. Steroid dink.
I was going to say dink on toast, which is a little bit of a great line.
Well, next time. Dink on toast.
I don't even know what it meant.
let's restart. what I hear from everybody is that Tatum is disrespected. I even tweeted it early in the season. I don't know who the hell they were playing. I'm watching the Celtics, and he's going to the hole, and he's getting whacked to the ground, no call. It's frustrating because he doesn't get any of the treatment that the other superstars do. I accept and grant that point. But you can't say he's the MVP and then bemoan the absence of Jaylen Brown in a game they should have won. Like, the excuses for Tatum by these fans, like, he's not the MVP. He's not even the alpha on his team.
I mean, he has elevated his game. His shot is better.
Right, but Jaylen Brown,
he was double-teamed a lot in these games. I'll grant you that, which is to Kerr's credit.
Jaylen Brown, just like after that dink Grant Williams went up and sideswiped Jason Tatum a week ago,
yeah,
immediately Tatum walks away because that's his way, which is fine, and then Jaylen gets right in his face. Jaylen Brown is the emotional leader of this team. He's Marcus Smart without the bad shots with much more talent. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And that dunk, the highlight that he played there, Joe played coming back, was a great design play. They go up by two. They eventually had to, it was tied. Tatum missed a shot at the end of overtime. But he has stepped up in clutch moments and been good. Didn't get the game winner in regulation, but was big in overtime last night. But the fourth quarter was not good Wednesday. Not good. Steph Curry was the much better player, difference maker, took the two when it was presented. And
who's the better coach, Kerr or Mazzulla?
Kerr.
Well,
I mean,
don't tell Wiggy.
He's a better coach. I agree with you. He's smarmy. He's unnerving to listen to him. But wouldn't you swap if you had the chance?
Right. And if I had the opportunity, I would just ask Steve Kerr where the other 15 million votes went that were there in 2020, if you want to lecture us.
Jeez. So anyway, it's an interesting week. They're getting guys like the Nemus Keita development is something. So Brad Stevens, you're going to compare him to Elliott Wolf and the crew that he has assembled. He consistently has brought in good supporting cast talent. And Keita is something.
Is it interesting to you that is it of note that the sale has gone silent? Like, there's been a couple pop-up stories. One in the New York Post about 2 to 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
About Pags potentially going in. I have to guess that they're just not getting what they expected, because why would you? Like, would you agree that you are buying at the absolute peak of value?
Yeah. Well, let's say they become a dynasty like the Chiefs or something like that. Then no, they could still go up in value.
No, they're but those titles are going to be much more expensive. If you consider what they spent for this championship versus what the new contracts will cost.
Yeah, but sometimes doesn't fandom really take hold the year after a title? So this year it should be rising. The next couple years, everybody's in.
But not at the same rate of the cost.
I mean, largely I agree with you. I'm just trying to push back a little.
No, I mean, so but if you don't own the building and you are in a lease for 12 years or whatever it is with the Delaware North, then I don't know how you get $7 billion. Maybe you should sell, if you're the NBA, maybe you sell the franchise in Vegas before you sell the Celtics.
Here was Tatum after the Golden State loss. These quotes were interesting as well. He's been working the refs a lot this year. He whines about it pretty consistently, game in and game out. He got teed up, I think, in the Golden State game for something. So he seems frustrated, even for a guy who, you know, at the end of last year in the title, what are they going to say now, which was a good line. He does seem a little rattled at times early this year, but here was his Wednesday clip.
Yeah, I think they just did a good job of being more physical, and obviously they were, you know, blitzing all of the ball screens I came off, and I could speak for myself, a little rushed in the first half, and I think in the second half just accepted it and played with more patience and made the right read more often than not.
Is that something that you kind of have to get, like, more used to? It's almost like relearning. It seemed like last year maybe you would have handled that a little bit better, maybe a little bit sooner, but because it's a new year, you're just going to have to get used to that stuff all over again?
No, not relearning. I understand every defense. We just didn't have our best first half, and we picked up in the second half, but we just got to be better.
I don't know. There was another clip in there. He seemed to get a little more defensive, but that's fine. I mean, he's just kind of talking about the strategy. They had a slow start. It's not the end of the world. They were without not only Brown, but also Porzingis, who is – it is stunning. As the texter points out, they're missing maybe two top 20 players, and they're still – in that game, they lose by six, yes.
So that guy thought they were going to lose Wednesday night?
Well, that's the point, yeah.
Like, no, stop it. Like, it's just, we all said how stupid Steve Kerr was to leave Jaylen off the team and to bench Tatum and that he was going to be paying for it this year, right? I thought they might be opening their season with the rings against Golden State.
Ooh, that would have been good.
And they didn't. And it's, you know, the other thing is, you're going to get everybody's best all year long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Nets come in. They start out 16-2 run to begin that game. It's it is a exhausting thing, and I am perfectly happy with Jalen and Kristaps Porzingis getting days off because God knows you'll need them in the playoffs. You don't need them now.
How do you feel about the in-season tournament?
I don't even know what it is.
What do you mean you don't know what it is? Didn't they put up a banner for that last year?
Yeah.
The Lakers
put it up.
I am far more into Moana 2 than I am.
Oh, my daughter is going to be big into that. Is it Thanksgiving week, right?
Maya's a Moana fan?
Oh, Moana 1 was like in her 3-year-old
favorite
wheelhouse.
Movie of all time.
Really?
That and City Slickers.
What? Let's go to back to the Pats. Richard and Hyannis checking in on the Ken and Curtis Show. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. My opinion is by the time the Patriots get even resemble getting better, do you think Drake May is going to get frustrated and ask for a trade?
It could happen, Richard. Thank you for the call.
Yeah,
I mean, I that's the worry, though, that you wait too long to get him to get it together, and he's going to be out of here.
You know the bull bleep that we heard from Dale and others for so long, which is, the only way you're going to sustain talent is if you get a quarterback on a rookie contract. Remember that? It was all about
you. Why is your Dale voice the same as the voice you use for me during the week?
Because you guys are very similar. Both well past your peaks.
Love Dale. Both
Dale here.
What?
I don't know. It's just the bitchy old nasally man.
I'm not that old.
By Dirt? Oh, I thought that was his name. Sorry, squirrel
hang
moment.
In. Oh, God, what are you? This is about the time of the show the squirrel moments appear, Joe.
Well, I'm sorry. There's a guy that showed up on screen and said his name was By Dirt. Anyway, I would say the Patriots are really, really close to effing this entire thing up when it comes to surrounding Drake May with talent and to surrounding him with competent coaches. I don't know how they get out of this, and I don't...
But would you admit your Van Pelt hatred, or...
It's not hatred. It's just my reaction to watching this offense.
Okay, but is your Van Pelt skepticism based on physical appearance more so than logic of Drake May's performance?
Right, how he appears to have no clue what's going on.
Now, to the caller's point, though, there is a real worry if you wait 2 or 3 years to... get it together. Drake May's out of here in some form or fashion. Either he's disgruntled, ask for a trade. I mean, you have the rights to him, so it's like it's hard for a player to get out.
You're at least 4 years left with this guy because you franchise him. I mean, you have his control.
Okay.
There's nowhere he's going.
617-779-7937. And now Joe with the news. I thought you were going to say dink on toast.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered 1 story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
God, we asked AVP last week about incorporating design runs for Drake in the offense, and he kind of said that, you know, he takes enough hits and stuff like that. Like, what is your stance sort of on scheming ways to, you know, obviously his mobility has been a factor.
One thing I would say, you know, he was in the concussion protocol not too long ago, and I'm not looking forward to designing quarterback runs for him at this present time. But who knows? Like, look, he's a rookie, and he'll continue to evolve as a player as well.
Well, that's the hope. The evolution of Mac. Wow. Evolution of Drake.
Let me tell you what it's here. This is the guy I just games. Saw. Find you a few who is? Dirt. Jordan Davis.
Did you request this?
No. I just mentioned it. I saw it. And Braverman, paying attention. The old Ken would be along the... nobody was ever better than Ken at that. But now you don't even notice it when it happens.
Scroll moments?
No, that he heard me say that and used it.
I don't know who this is.
You guys Jordan Davis, By Dirt.
Yeah, I'm like you, Curtis. I'm a country music guy as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nothing. But can I do a quick mention? BC coming up at 11:30, an hour from now. Meter and Cronin on the call as
God,
BC looks to get back on track.
You bailed on Mayo and BC in a span of a week. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know what? Things happen. that don't align with what I thought, so I change what I say about them. It's this wild thing. I should keep saying they're going to be undefeated even when they lose. Really cool, sad night. BC honored the Goudreau brothers who passed away.
Big clash with Maine last night.
And they won. They improved to 6-1. They're the number two hockey team in America. And
we pivoted to hockey. We have pivoted right over from BC football to hockey.
And whenever the Patriots would lose the Super Bowl, I'd be like, all right, beanpot, let's go. Oh, man.
But, can I get back to that clip from Mayo, though?
Yeah.
Do you think Mayo can save or lose his job by anything that happens in the last eight games?
I don't think – I guess nothing he will do will, quote, save it. I think that he could lose it.
He could lose it.
Yes.
So play that scenario out.
So let's just say that whatever happens –
because he has fixed the locker room. They seem now to be avoiding any rippage. They're all on board, at least to play the year out.
Okay. So what happens is they have another, let's say tomorrow they lose 31-17. And he says they played soft again. Or he says, calls them out in another adjective. And the team doesn't respond this time. That's how you lose it. So the players that week... You know, what's frustrating for
people, players have no power, though.
What's frustrating for me as someone who's giving Gerard Mayo a chance is that the people that are obsessed over how Bill used to run it give no credit to when Gerard Mayo effectively gets through a tough situation, which is what they did after Jacksonville, and then they beat the Jets. And, you know, I'm not giving Gerard Mayo credit for the win, but had they lost the game to the Jets and had that looked similar to the Thursday night game in week three, then you're saying, yeah, this is over before it starts because the locker room's turned on him. The side of the ball that should have had his back is out ripping their coach. And now you're, you know, halfway through year one and it's clear this was too soon. That's how he loses. Not by on-field decisions. I don't think that you're going to lose.
Honestly, Drake May is so dazzling and entertaining in and of himself. He's distracting from other problems and potential drama on the team for everybody, for fans, for Mayo, for players who might get gruntled, at least to a point. That might lose its luster here in a few weeks. If they lose four more at the bye week, they're 2-11.
And I don't believe that Gerard Mayo had anything to do with the delayed arrival of Drake May as the starter. So another thing in his side of the ledger would be that Mayo wanted him there. He said to Greg, you know, before the season that he won the competition. He was always purposefully obtuse when discussing the plan and refusing to allow any of us to understand the details of said plan. I think that was a fight above. He and the players were unified in their desire to have Drake May on the field. And that finally occurred, and it was clearly the right decision.
You just hit on something. Maybe that power struggle is what could get Mayo fired. If it becomes more pronounced Mayo v. Elliott Wolf, Mayo v. Kraft, you're not letting me make decisions. I don't know what that is left to decide. It's just minutiae.
So
at this
you
point.
Think, but like play this through, right? Let's say the Patriots win two more games. They're exactly the same. They're 4-13.
Yep.
And whatever the connection that the texter reported or, you know, the Google search that
Ben Johnson, this. North Carolina grad.
Ben and Drake are buddies for
UNC buddies.
They are
Thunder buddies.
They are Thunder buddies for life.
Yep.
That you have the option of bringing in Ben Johnson, firing Gerard Mayo.
Yep.
Surrounding Drake May with a guy that can maximize his skill set.
What about co-coaches?
Thunder.
I mean,
two coaches. Two.
Where
coaches.
Would the Catholic Church be without the popes? So do you think there's any chance that Robert Kraft fires Mayo and brings in Ben Johnson?
I really don't see it right now, which could be a problem. Like, I think you're right that there are a lot of fans are going to want that. Like, if you put up a poll right now, you love the polls, Saturday morning polls. Well, who would you rather have here next year as coach-coordinator combo?
Would you rather have Curtis solo or with Ken?
Stay the course, Mayo and AVP.
You always are too verbose. You know what I? You know what one
well,
thing workshop, I learned?
Workshop.
You know what thing I learned?
Yeah.
I'd write you a shorter letter
if I had more time. God.
See, look, repetitive
sayings.
Nature works. He now knows it.
You say it every week.
That's you even finish each other's
sentences. I mean, James has that tattooed on his back.
All right. A is stay the course.
Stay the course.
B is Mayo with a new offensive.
What should the Pats do this offseason?
Mayo and let's say Josh McCown or Mayo and some other better coordinator. More experienced OC. That's verbose.
Stay the course, so keep Ken.
C is Ben Johnson.
B is what? I'm
Mayo and new OC.
Mayo, fire. We'd fire AVP, keep Mayo.
Yep.
I should write everything.
C is Ben Johnson.
Bend over.
And D is Vrabel McDaniels. Blast from the past.
Fire Ben.
While you're doing that, I'm taking Jeff. Okay. Jeff in the car. Hello, Jeff. How we doing?
Hey, guys, just want to say it's great to hear you both on the radio together. And a big thanks for what you did yesterday in Hudson to bring awareness and praise the veterans. It's a lot of work. I know, Ken, you do a lot behind the scenes. So great job on that. I hope you do it again next year.
Well, thanks. And obviously, we've got to give Greg credit. I just want to give Greg Hill proper credit. That was his idea.
Yeah.
And he put it, as always, he brings it all together. He's the maestro.
And I would just like to credit me.
Thank you. Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. So, so speaking of credit, love Mayo. I think he's a great guy. But I think the most important thing we need to look at is that offensive coordinator position. So the comparisons I put out there, the barometer for success for a young quarterback in the league is the offensive coordinator. You bring in Baker Mayfield, you bring in Sam Darnold. They go through multiple offensive coordinators in multiple years, and they're all out. Same thing happened to Mac Jones. You know, great first year, then two more sets of new offensive coordinators over the next 2 years, 3 and 3 years. I don't want to see Drake May have to go through 3 or 4 different offensive coordinators in 3 years. I think it's a recipe for disaster.
You're right about that. But the only pushback to that is, Jeff, it's not good to just keep the wrong choice just for the sake of continuity, right? If it's not working, and it never will, that's not good either.
Right, but if you can get a solid OC and give Drake May 3 years with the same guy, I think that's a lot better than switching out OCs every year. What's what happened to Mac Jones? And look at Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. I mean, there's so many examples. Great show. I'll just hang up and listen. What do you have a question for me?
I would just say, you would keep Alex Van Pelt?
Honestly, I think I would. I look at how Drake May's playing this year and give him 2 years with Van Pelt. And if it doesn't work out, then bring in a heavy hitter.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And actually, what's realistic from the Kraft point of view, Curtis? He's going to give Mayo a second year. So wouldn't you want to just give him, as long as he and Van Pelt get along fine, give them 2 years and then fire the whole combo? Don't piecemeal it. It's either right or it's not right. And then you bring the whole new package in. But by then, Ben Johnson's hired and he's somewhere else.
Exactly. So it's all about timing. And you have to add in the fact that you have Drake May for 4 more years after this on a deal that is very team-friendly. So you should try and maximize the others around him to win as soon as possible when he's here, obviously, as the guy.
Yep.
And that's what, I don't get what the whole... Listen, it's okay if Jerod Mayo isn't the guy. It really is. I mean, and it's not... I honestly think it has much less to do with him than it does the haphazard way they put this all together in the first place. A lot of first jobs are not right. It is very rare for a guy to enter his first job, be successful, and stay there for a very long time. It's much more likely you're in Cleveland or you're in Philadelphia or if you're in, where Jim Harbaugh was with the 49ers. You're in many different places before you find the spot where you have success.
What do you like about Mayo?
I like the fact that he's a true leader. He strikes me as a guy that doesn't need to talk as much. He's a guy that... as a player and as a coach, is a follow my lead, follow what I do. And I think he does have the respect of the players in that locker room.
So maybe you do option B, which is fire AVP and keep him then and let Mayo pick his guy. And hopefully you have a better pool of candidates to attract from now that May is in place.
And candidly, I would be shocked if Ben Johnson viewed this as a destination he'd want to run to. I mean, when you consider the amount of work required.
Right. He can pick his spot.
Right.
Now, would you pick Danny from Quincy on line 2?
Sure.
Did you and Danny bond? He said you guys had a little nice moment yesterday.
I mean, it's tough, as you know, when you're there to talk as long as you would like. But yes, it was very nice to see Danny. I said he looked very nice, very good.
Danny
very
and I had said many great chats yesterday. Appreciate you coming out to the American Heritage Museum, Dan.
Well, Curtis, I'll take all the compliments I can get. I don't get many. So anyway, I can tell you this. If it wasn't for Joel Landry and Greg Hill, I refer to him as the mountain man in the morning. I never would have got to that museum, Curtis. Never.
Yeah.
And that would have been a shame for me not to go to that museum ever. So in my life. So it was, you're it was a lot younger than I am.
Yes, it is awe-inspiring when you walk into that place. It's just an amazing, I can't believe I lived here my whole life and never even knew it existed.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, man, and it lends new meaning to when my dad used to tell me, when I had that stupid look on my face, worried look on my face, and he'd say, "What's bothering you?" I would tell him, and he'd said, "At least no one's shooting at you." And standing next to those guns on those tanks, and I'm thinking, can you imagine one of those things going off and you just being within 100 yards of one of those shells?
Right.
You'd be dead. Concussion along.
One of them, let alone like a field full of them. And Joe Landry was talking about the skies full of bombers. He would look up, he couldn't see the sky.
There were 3,000
bombers.
Unbelievable.
Overhead. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I have a nice documentary I could send you on the Battle of the Bulge, Curtis, or Ken. I'll send it to Ken and he could forward it to you if you have time to watch it, Curtis. It's by the American Experience. It's an old one, but it's a documentary, and the footing, the cold, the snow, the music, the veterans that are telling the story in the background, they're probably all gone now, but it is bone-chilling, literally. But anyway, I'll send it to Ken, and he can forward it to you if you have time.
That'd be
great. If you're interested in it, I'm interested in history, so I always take advantage of that.
YouTube is the greatest thing. It is. I cannot watch enough about World War II. It is just, every time you watch it, it's shocking. It's just,
just remember the American Experience, Battle of the Bulge, the American Experience. Look that up. You'll get it on YouTube. Yep. And I think
I saw Greg doing the Battle of the Bulge at the 110 Grill.
Yeah, thanks for the food, Ken. We had our fill of that. And Kyle, tip your waitresses. Kyle took care of all
Carl
the waitresses.
Carl is a pistol.
There, so.
My God, he is what a legend he is. Unbelievable.
Anyway, okay, so now here we go. Let's get to business. Now, you had a caller earlier complaining about the acquisition of Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel.
Oh, you're going to defend that?
So I got to, and Kurt, go ahead. And you, and Curtis, you agree with him. But the future, I agree. But they don't win the Super Bowl that year without Isaiah Wynn and the acquisition of Britt Brown.
Oh, my God in heaven.
And Sony Michel. they don't win it. They don't
Danny,
win it.
Danny, they're a dozen.
Curtis believes Brady would win without teammates.
Do you think they would have won that Super Bowl without Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn?
Both critical players on that team.
Ken, be honest.
I said that, Curtis. Oh, go ahead, Ken.
No, you're right, Danny.
So you think those were good picks, Danny?
Because Bill, and then you asked Dante Scott.
Would they have been better with Nick Chubb or Sony Michel? No, that's a question. I'm asking you. Would they have been better with Nick Chubb? That draft, would they have been better with Nick Chubb, the same Georgia backfield, or Sony Michel? Both in the draft.
It's a separate argument.
No, of course it's not. It's the argument.
No, it's not. It's about winning that year.
Right. Would they have won that year with Nick Chubb over Sony Michel?
I don't know. He wasn't on the team.
What are you talking about? He's a better player than Sony Michel, Danny.
Sony Michel had a great year that year. He was a
Danny,
force.
Danny, you are not this. You are not this dense. Nick Chubb is a better running back than Sony Michel. He was available
for
in that draft. They took the wrong guy
for that playoff run. You couldn't have had a better player than Sony Michel, and for that playoff run. And
why
Isaiah,
you could have easily had a better player than Sony Michel? He almost did nothing out the backfield catching the ball. Nick Chubb would have been a far better player on that team. It's not even close.
Yeah, but they had they had what's his name? Burkett was the guy that was complimenting Michel.
Thinking of the pitcher,
and they had
John
Isaiah
Burkett.
Wynn, who could,
Rex Burkhead.
But Danny.
Well, he contributed. Ask Dante Scarnecchia about the versatility of Isaiah Wynn being able to switch.
Right now. Oh, my God.
Being able to switch from right tackle.
Switch topic here real quick, Danny. Do you stay the course with Mayo and Van Pelt or make a change with this current team?
Well, yeah, the jury's still out as to whether or not Gerard Mayo is a leader, Curtis, as I just heard you say. I think he's a puppet for Kraft, and I think he's subservient to Van Pelt and Elliot Ness or Wolf or whatever his name is, okay?
You can't argue that,
Curtis.
He's not
a leader.
He did not have power.
He didn't have power to start May.
Yep.
I'm sorry?
He didn't have the power to start May as he probably wanted to week one.
Exactly. So if you don't have the power, you're not a leader. He has no leadership skills at all. He's just a yes man. I'm not saying he can't develop into that, but until he gets that autonomy, we're not going to find out.
Okay.
We're not going to find out. And the 20, listen, and then you talked about the 20-year period, Belichick. Go back to Belichick. Without Bill Belichick, how many Super Bowls does Tom Brady win under that in that 20 years?
Five.
Never. Okay. Without Bill Belichick.
How many teams has Bill Belichick coached without Tom Brady? How many years, Danny?
It doesn't matter.
Of course it does. It's the exact argument. How many has he coached?
No, it doesn't matter.
How in God's name can you say it doesn't matter? He's coached a decade. Danny, he coached. Danny, Danny, it's not your show. No, I don't. Danny, I'm going to tell this to you, and then you can reply or hang up, whatever you want. It was great to see you. Bill Belichick has coached a decade without Tom Brady. He has won a single playoff game. Tom Brady played three seasons at 43, 44, and 45, won five playoff games and a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick's 20 years is locked in.
Right.
Without Bill Belichick.
Without Tom Brady, what has he won?
I'm not saying Bill Belichick wasn't declining as a coach.
No, I'm asking you a simple question. It's a very empirical stat. The stats don't lie.
It's not.
How many times did he win? No, of course it's not anecdotal.
It's a no question.
Danny, they played the games. They played the games. It's not anecdotal. It's an actual result.
We're out of time. Context to be provided next week. You can join the show 617.
Unbelievable. And then I'm looking at this. I mean, look at the draft where they took.
That's not nearly as bad as
Isaiah
Metcalf.
Okay.
N'Keal Harry.
So they could have taken Calvin Ridley. They could have taken Nick Chubb. They could have taken Shaq Leonard, linebacker, not a bad player. They could have taken my man, Harold Landry, one of the great pass rushers out of BC.
Sony Meh Shell.
I mean, that and the N'Keal Harry draft are why Tom left. Did you disagree with that?
No, Tom left for a multitude of reasons, mostly his ego.
Would you rather have Nick Chubb or Sony Michel?
Nick Chubb.
Okay. What are we doing here?
But on that team, Michelle was kind of a compliment to what they were doing.
So a better running back would have been worse for the team?
He's a different running back. By the way, Vrabel is winning your poll. Have you seen that?
Stop looking at
Check
my poll.
I can't help it. It's the Ken and Curtis program with you until 11:30. Ken and Curtis show. Ken Laird here.
Hi, Chris Curtis here.
Curtis over there. My daughter Maya is here. Be on your best behavior, please. No potty mouth.
Maya has classed up the joint bigly.
And Maya, behave yourself.
Tell your dad to behave himself.
Your poll question is a surprise to me. You can find it at Chris Curtis on Twitter.
How did Maya turn out so well when you're her dad? No.
Incorrect.
What should the Patriots do this offseason? Four options. Fire Ken. No. Stay the course. Keep Mayo. Fire AVP, which would be my choice for now. Mm-hmm. Hire Ben Johnson or hire Mike Vrabel. Vrabel must be just sort of the nostalgia.
It's amazing.
Not running away with it. He's in first, 34 and a half. So I would say my takeaway to this is 65% of the respondents want both AVP, Mayo, cleaning house. They want either Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel to come in. So you are two-thirds of the audience
does not either want Johnson or Vrabel.
Right, which means they don't want Vrabel. They don't want Mayo back next year.
90% of the audience wants some change.
Of course.
Okay. I thought you were more of the hire Ben Johnson.
That's true. I just don't think it'll happen. If they can hire Ben Johnson, I would do that.
The most realistic is your choice. Fire right. Van Pelt after the year. But right. to put the caller's point, then you get into the Mac Jones cycle of multiple coordinators. You're already doing it again. You're doing the same thing you did before.
And though for the organization that is cost cautious, that is the cheapest as well, because God, I mean, they probably, you know, $2-3 million a year. You're looking at, you know, maybe what do you think they gave AVP? 2-3 year deal?
I don't think so. He might be on a 1 year prove it deal.
Okay, well, even if it's 2 years, you're only talking about $3 million that you're on the hook for. $2 million.
Has that been reported anywhere? Joe, look that up. Have they reported on what the Van Pelt contract terms are?
Right.
If any, we've got a crayon.
It came with Red Robin gift cards.
Now, you have a Twitter response to this. What they will do is get a new OC, still won't pay for a high-end receiver, and they'll be in the same position, but will have a top pick left tackle and no weapons. Doesn't matter if they get Ben Johnson or the best coordinator who ever walked the face of the earth, whoever that is, Andy Reid, and they don't have weapons for Drake May. Can they ascend?
Of course not. They need weapons, and I think they will add that, but can we just wrap up the Danny conversation?
Yeah.
Because it always goes back to this. Everybody, yourself included, the big one for you was the NFC Championship game where Brady had the bad second half and the Packers looked like they were poised to come back and win that game. The Bucs win, they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Everybody looked at what each was going to do and was going to be judged on how they performed without the other. Like that, and Belichick was in a better position because his age wasn't nearly as important as the age of the quarterback that was still actually playing the game.
You know the question that last...
So Tom leaves and wins bigly.
With a super team.
That had the same preseason win-loss prediction as your New England Patriots did in 2020. So the super team, nonsense. But that being said, Bill Belichick has coached a decade in the NFL, not a couple years, without Tom Brady. And he's won a single playoff game. And for those that say Bill Belichick created Tom Brady... why didn't he make another one? If it's so good and he can do it, why did he only make one?
Yeah. They had one cooking there with Mac.
It's just an amazing rewriting of history. It's okay. It was the quarterback. The coach was great. You know, good fans. Teddy Bruschi, Ty Law, Wiggy. I love them all. But the Patriots have existed for 70-plus years. They have won 12 games only when Tom Brady was under center.
508 texter, I agree with. How come the Brady bozos, like Curtis, neglect to mention Brady played with the most stacked roster he ever played with in 2020 when he won his seventh Super Bowl?
Right. The 2020 Patriots and the 2020 Bucks were each 9 to 9.5 preseason win predictions.
3-1-0.
Don't look it up. Not even predictions. It was the Vegas over-under wins.
3-1-0 texter, nostalgia. How about Vrabel took Ryan Tannehill to an AFC title game? There are some silent Vrabel fans out there. Passionate, silent Vrabel is the guy fans. And you know Kraft likes him.
Really?
Well, he was in the booth. He brought him back for the Hall of Fame.
They were icy about Vrabel in the end when he was bitching about Patriot plays and the players not getting any of that pie, and then he was traded to Kansas City.
But he's the break glass in case of emergency guy. He's Mayo's threat.
I think that if Ryan Day doesn't win the national championship this year, he's coaching Ohio State.
Vrabel.
Yeah.
But if Vrabel had the choice, Pats or Ohio State.
Yeah, I guess the NIL, does that make it more likely to go to the NFL?
Be hell. You're paying like... nobody.
And I guess that's true. Like, if you're Vrabel, you're beloved in Columbus, do you really want to be hated as the head coach?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think that's what the Buckeye fan expects, but probably not likely.
Let's go to Johnny Cakes in Saugus. Good morning, Cakes. Johnny.
Hello.
Gundam going once, going twice. Oh, there you are. How are you?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was daydreaming just... thinking about what Curtis was just saying.
Yep.
Hey, who's screening calls in there, man? He is an unhappy dude.
Yeah, Joe, he's got to work with Curtis and I. What's wrong with your attitude?
Jeez, and cracking that guy. Anyways, I loved you yesterday, man. That was someday. I gotta hand it to all you guys. And, of course, Ken, you are the mechanism that makes it roll. You can... push it to Greg all you want, but we know it's Ken Laird.
Oh, thank you. Right. Well, I'm blushing.
Don't be nice to Joe.
All right, God bless.
See you
Monday.
All right, Johnny.
Be well.
Thank you very much. And our buddy Derek and Pepperell was out there, too. Derek, thank you for coming yesterday and being the ambassador of the Greg Hill Show.
Yes, thank you. Thank you there, Ken. It really, really was something. You know, I brought Billy Graves and Bill and Joe Markham, and they want to bring people back. They loved it. You know, Joe's like, I wish I brought my brother. I mean, it really, really was something. And Curtis, I echo what you said. When we were listening to Joe, oh, my God, it was just laughter and tears. And that guy was 100 years old. You would never know it. You'd never know it. Unfortunately, as a great day that I had, we had to put Althea down, our 14-year-old boxer. And I was thinking about you, Curtis, because I know you recently lost your dog.
Yeah.
And I knew. We had to leave the show a little bit early. We knew because the vet was coming to the house. But just want to tell you that I commiserate with you. I know Pudge went way quicker than Althea did. Althea was 14 years old, and we had a lot of time with her. But really enjoyed the show, guys. And I just can't wait for next year. But it's just super. It really was super. And that place, I didn't know that place existed either. Place is so cool.
Yep.
And I want to go there and really walk around and check it out.
All right, Derek.
Thank you guys for what you guys do.
Thanks,
and the
Derek.
Last thing I want to say, and I saw Danny freaking talking to Curtis, and he was behaving himself. It was great. It was great.
Well,
it was great.
Then they start talking Patriots, Belichick v. Brady, and it goes off the rails. But thank you, Derek. Sorry for your loss. Herb Street lost his dog, too. My God, that guy gets a lot of pub.
Awful. There is It is awful, but it is, you know, I wouldn't trade the 12 years with Pudge for the pain of after losing him, but it does suck.
And when are we starting Pudge's dogs? My great idea for a segment on the show.
I love it. And Chuck is still available. So if you watched, we need to do a better job of updating that. So I checked the Salem Rescue League website. And so Chuck, who came in a couple weeks ago, sweetest dog, blind, don't adopt him if you have another pet. But if you look for an 8-year-old that's going to be full of love, go to the Salem Rescue League and adopt Chucky, the dog that was in here. And then Ken's great idea, every Friday, we should, with Costos or no?
Before Costos. He muddies the waters.
Yeah, that's true.
I want your guys' underdog picks for the weekend.
Pudge's
and by the
dogs.
Way, Texter wanted your college football play.
Oh, I already have it. Ready?
No, tease it.
Okay, coming up next, you're going to lose. You're going to win all the money you've ever lost.
And Joe will be nice to the call to the callers.
No, Tom. Nope. Joe, you're doing a great job.
All right, next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.